Bold. Brave. Herb. With Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 539 of the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by someone you saw before. She's been here before and she's fabulous, so she became a repeat offender. And that is Dr. Rachel Reed. Now, Rachel holds a BA, a master's in science, and a PhD in exercise physiology. So what she has are street creds. She absolutely is amazing. She's also an American College of Sports Medicine certified exercise physiologist, which, by the way, is the toughest test to take, hands down. Going into this. And she's also involved at multiple levels with the American College of Sports Medicine as well. And she's currently working as an industry scientist for Therabody, leading the global research for the company and bridging the gap between research and the consumer. And as you know, the grand majority of us own a Theragun and a lot of the recovery and related tools that Therabody makes, which is very cool. So we're going to be talking today all about this issue of recovery. What is recovery and all the rest of it? I never paid attention to it. I'm bad, you know, when I was training for marathon and the rest of it, people said, hey, you know, after you've done that 10 miler, what are you doing to your body? I'm like, I don't know, I'm walking home. And instead of like, have you talked to your body lately? You know, is your body happy with you? And the answer is usually no, but I sort of blow it off. And I think a lot of people do, and they're not spending enough time with this whole issue of recovery. And this is true. I don't care how old you are. If you're just simply walking, doing mostly that and however you're doing it, or you're an elite athlete, at the end of the day, you need to be able to honor this whole issue of recovery. Okay, Rachel, take it away. What is this issue of recovery? Why is this so important?
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Dr. Peek, for having me back. And when I think about recovery, I think about it from two different angles. I think about physical recovery. So how do you give your body time to recover and adapt to the training stimulus or the stress that you just underwent, maybe a really tough workout or a marathon or the 10 miler that you talked about, and the psychological recovery. So mentally, are you feeling ready for another effort? Do you feel like you're capable to kind of go back and do an effort again soon? And so when we think about recovery overall, you need to consider both of those levers. So physical and psychological, that sort of mental readiness that we hear a lot in the athlete space. And I think you're right that in the past, recovery was really associated with performance. So people who are training for something very specific, people who are college athletes, professional athletes, senior athletes, we think about recovery in that context. But with Therabody and the way that we are trying to redefine recovery, we really think recovery is for everyone. Because even if you are a mom of two little kids like I am, and you're just trying to make it through the day and get enough sleep and eat well and work out when you can, you deserve that time to recover. And so rather than conceptualizing recovery as this like thing that lives adjacent to training or exercise or physical activity, I think about it as part of the training. And it doesn't have to be training again for a big event. It could be just training for life, training to find that longevity, that health span that people are after now. So, you know, we can look in the textbook at definitions of recovery and see all these like really technical definitions. But I think of it as, again, that physical plus psychological, and that can apply to all of us.
So what does that look like? So let's just say someone hit the gym and they're being good. And, you know, they went ahead and did exactly as their trainer had said. And, you know, they were maybe working chest, shoulder, tri, and just maybe they threw in a little bit of aerobic just to kind of warm up, et cetera. Now, does recovery take place on the mat afterwards when people kind of collapse onto the mat? Is that what recovery looks like? How do people do recovery?
Yeah, so it can look a lot of different ways. And in fact, recovery can even be within a workout. So to use your example of strength training, say you're doing an upper body focused workout, maybe after each set, you need to give yourself a little bit of window of time right before you repeat the next set, because you need those metabolic pathways to partially recover so you can like give good effort again and get the adaptations you need. So recovery can be within a workout. It can also be immediately after a workout. So yeah, you crash on the mat. Maybe you're doing some stretching. You're doing some foam rolling. You've got your Theragun, hopefully. Or it might be that the next day when you wake up, we've all experienced this before, you're really sore to the touch and you get out of bed and you're kind of like, whoa, like my legs feel pretty sore. Adding some recovery in, whether that's compression therapy, whether that is using your Theragun, whether it's going for a walk, all of those little pieces can help you feel better and give your body the time and space it needs to be able to perform again. But when I think about recovery, and I think this will be like a good segue too, I think about it in like a pyramid visual where there are certain things that are just foundational. And then you have these like fancy recovery technology tools like at the very top. But I think about this, and I'll be curious to hear your point of view, as sleep being the foundation of recovery, and then nutrition and hydration, and then how you train. And then finally, at the top, these optimizers. So this technology that Therabody is leading the charge with to use different modalities like hot, cold, massage to help speed up what your body already does naturally, to really optimize so that you can perform better at life or in your next big competition.
I like the whole thought. It just hit me. We have little mini recoveries while we're working out.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to wait till the end and like we have this massive recovery. It's right. Just paying attention to your body and realizing you need a little time in between sets or even reps or however you're playing it. And just, again, it's like being mindful, being very mindful. I love the fact that you included the mind in this too, because I, you know, I blew off my body and my mind for a long time. I just said, you know, suck it up. Move it along. Come on now. What are you complaining about? Only to find out that my poor little body and mind were saying, excuse me, all right, you just killed us for about an hour and a half. When do we get to rest and take good care of us, nurture us, or bad things are going to happen here? What's the relationship between recovery or lack thereof and injury?
Ooh, okay. So this is a good question. Thinking about how the body responds and adapts to exercise is so central to kind of understanding this relationship between recovery and injury. So one of the reasons recovery is so important is for injury prevention. We see this need for recovery most often in people who are either new to exercise or a type of exercise. Like we know women specifically need to do more and more strength training. And oftentimes when they start, they have this high need to recover well from the session to be ready to go again. Otherwise, they could be at risk for something like overtraining or an overuse injury. Maybe they're not allowing the tissue to adapt. We also see this need for injury prevention in people who are training for sport or for a big event, for a big performance. So we need to make sure that they are planning recovery into their workouts. And I like your idea. This is such a good reminder. Like we're all so busy. We have so many things to do that we don't have time for like a 30-minute recovery session. But we can, within our 30-minute workout, take 1 or 2 minutes, whether it's halfway through, between sets, between lifting and running, or lifting and walking, we can take a couple of minutes and do something that's going to move the needle there. Or we can add some recovery to our bedtime routine.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. One of the really cool studies that we were able to do at Therabody is our Theragun and sleep study. And we did this with a third-party research team where we had folks who reported needing some support going to sleep enroll in this intervention study. And they used the Theragun as part of their bedtime routine just for a few minutes before bed. And what we saw were objective improvements in markers of sleep quality. So meaning they fell asleep a little bit faster and they woke up less at night, just from this ability to sort of shift into this parasympathetic state. And that's our rest and digest state, where we kind of like shut everything off and we're allowing ourselves to take a few minutes, add that self-care in, use something simple like a Theragun, just a short routine, again, a couple minutes, and they improved their sleep quality, which is something a lot of us need to do. So when we think again about recovery as a whole and what it can look like for you or me or someone who's listening, we want to think about how it can be connected to different health outcomes and also different performance outcomes.
You know what I love? There's a brand new iteration of the mini Theragun.
Yes.
It's like super small. And it fits right in my hand. And yep. It's got three different heads. I like the big flat one, especially.
Me too.
It feels so good. So you know what I do? I carry it with me into the gym. And to your point, I didn't even realize I was calling it recovery yet. In between sets, sometimes I'll utilize it. And primarily, I like to utilize it on my calves and my quads and hams. It's like a leg thing for me, and it really helps them because sometimes they really tighten up. I have really muscular calves. They tend to just really get tight. And so I try to stretch them and I do all that. But at the same time, they're sensitive. So I just, you know, kind of sporadically will use it. Even if I'm not doing legs that session, I just do it anyway. Why? It's easy. And quite frankly, it feels good. It feels really, really, really good. Why the heck wouldn't I want to do something that made me feel good? And these are like tools that many people don't use. I see physical therapists with the Theraguns all the time, but these tools are extremely important. And I think people are just now beginning to fully appreciate how they can integrate the tools into their daily routines and their daily life. You don't have to be working out, right? Why do you need to be working out to do some recovery?
You don't have to be. And I think that's a key point that we want people listening to take home here. And it's one of our key messaging points at Therabody too, that recovery is for everybody, everywhere. We actually are doing a study with the Theragun Mini and the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. And I want to tell you about this study because I think it makes a few of your points we'll just really hit the nail on the head with a few of them. So this study is with older women. So think 60 plus, and actually the average age of women enrolled is in their early 70s. So we're looking at women in their 70s. Women in their 70s often experience a lot of pain. Something like 7 out of 10 women in their 60s and 70s are experiencing musculoskeletal pain. And we know from an exercise science point of view that if you're in pain, being physically active is like not at the top of your list. It is like really far down your list. And we know that if you are physically active, it can reduce your pain. It's just hard to get over that hump of like, gosh, everything feels stiff. I'm in pain. I want to go to the gym. It's like that doesn't compute. So what we did with this study and the expertise of the researchers at the University of Michigan is we said, okay, well, we know using the Theragun can reduce feelings of pain. We know that the mechanism of action, or like the way it works with your body in some way, is that it's reducing and interrupting the pain signal from your skin and your muscle to the brain. So, okay, we have this little tool. We're using the mini. It's easy to hold, easy to control. And we thought, well, what if we give these women the mini and we ask them to use it every day? It's just a 5-minute routine. And then we measure their physical activity objectively. So using like a tracker. How does their physical activity change if they're using this over a month? And guess what we're seeing? We're seeing that if their pain decreases from using this, they're able to be more active, right? Even if they're not going to the gym, they might be walking more throughout the day or sitting less. They're standing up more. They feel comfortable parking farther away, maybe, and walking into the store a little bit farther. And all of that movement adds up and can benefit health. And so that's a way that, like, yeah, they're using this recovery tool to mitigate pain and then make them more active. And that's so important. And it's important for us as a brand too at Therabody to do research on people, yes, that are athletes. We want to figure out how to give athletes that performance edge, but also women across the lifespan so that we can message to women like, hey, there's this tiny little tool that might just make a big difference for your quality of life and help you be able to do all the things you love to do a little bit longer, a little bit better.
I love that. I don't walk around in pain at all. I have a little osteoarthritis, but you know, I mean, I have a saying, by the time you hit 50, if you don't have an owie somewhere, you have not lived. You need to get out and get a life. And so just by virtue, you know, I was reading an article about Misty Copeland, you know, the famous black ballerina at the American yes. Ballet Theater. And she is now retiring. She's got her final thing coming up. She's going to do some Romeo and Juliet sequence and whatever, but she's kind of done. And she went through a whole laundry list of everything that's gone wrong now. She's got certain ligament tears and osteoarthritis now, because ballerinas especially, I mean, my God, their hips are shot and all the rest of it. And she's finally reached a point where she's like, okay, I got the message, universe. So the reason why I bring that up is because for athletes, we can see that all the time. It's like, well, of course, they've beaten themselves up for a long time and, you know, something's got to give. But for regular non-elite athletes who are just out there rocking and rolling and doing their thing, here's the good news. The more physically active you were, even if it's just really consistently nailing 4 miles of walking a day or whatever it may be, you can reduce the amount of pain because you're keeping going. You're kind of greasing the works, as it were.
Yep.
Worst thing you could do is be sedentary, but that's okay. You could pick it up at any point in your life, start getting physically active and do your thing. To your point about that great study about showing how the pain is decreased and the rest of it, gotta say, when I use that mini Theragun, you know, on my calves, my quads, and my hamstrings, it really does loosen things up enough for me so that I feel as though I can do more without that kind of a restraining feeling of like I'm too tight. It's not like I'm in a lot of pain or anything like that. It's just I'm tight and I, you know, it holds me back. So there you have it. But to your point with pain, I think it's ubiquitous. I think after, you know, the age of 60 for sure, something's going to hurt somewhere. And you enter the wonderful era of your life of workarounds. Everything is modify, know your body, keep it rocking, all of these things. Does that make sense?
It totally does. Yeah. And pain is something that, as a brand, we're trying to find solutions for that don't require medication. Of course, some pain is so severe and medical oversight is so important, but for us, if we can figure out what technology and what modalities could help relieve somebody's pain, even if it's temporary, even if it's like, all right, right after you use the Theragun, you feel better for a couple hours, like, we'll take it. That could be a win for somebody and might mean that they don't have to take as much medication in order to control that pain. And we kind of went into that mindset with one of our other new products, which is a lower back heated wrap. It's called the Therabody ThermBack LED. And this product we did a clinical study for as well with the University of Buffalo. And we recruited people, so women and men, who had lower back pain, which is a lot of people. Like, we were a little worried we wouldn't be able to recruit enough folks to get 100 people through the study quickly. We got 140 people through the study quickly because so many people qualified, which on one hand is terrifying to think about the number of people with lower back pain. And then on the other hand, we were able to study them and give them this product to wear daily and see if their pain levels decreased. And so again, we're trying to figure out, okay, with these modalities that we have, like heat therapy and compression, can we relieve pain and then hopefully improve how people feel and their ability to stay physically active as they age? Because we know that being physically active is protective against heart disease, protective against osteoporosis, protective against several types of cancer. And so if we can move the needle for people at all to move in that direction and be a little more active, to your point, even walking, like, please start there. It's such a huge deal from a public health point of view.
I love it. Now, when we come back, I'm going to be picking up on a couple more thoughts about back pain.
Ooh.
The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. All right. Well, literally, we're back. Let's do the backpack. Okay. So we talk about discomfort that occurs over the course of, you know, the decades. I'm watching with horror at people's posture. And I'm looking at the posture. I know immediately we sit back. Of course, I'm standing. But here's the gig. When I watch how people sit, they've got tech neck. So they're looking directly into a device. They literally look like cashews. You know, they've just turned into a little cashew. Wherever they may be sitting and trying to bang away at whatever. I was just in the airport the other day and once again went through a sense of horror as I watched people. I just can't believe how rotten their posture is. Posture is everything, just absolutely everything. Because by doing that, I mean, let's go to the posture place for a second, right? So by having excellent posture, well, when I say excellent, good posture, healthy posture, you know, trying to keep what we call a neutral spine, this will reap all kinds of rewards for you. So what do you have to work in order to get that? One, it's your core, your entire core. I have a saying, the stronger your abs, the stronger your back, the stronger your back, the stronger your abs. So it all comes as a package deal. So if this way you're holding yourself up, you've got a nice strong core, and you're going to be able to keep that spine ideally aligned much more in neutral spine. That's what you want.
Yep.
Okay. But nobody's getting the message out there. And what's up with that, Rachel? What's going on?
Yeah, people are not getting the message. I have to tell you, the most humbling experience for me, now I grew up doing gymnastics and cheerleading, so tumbling and all of that, you have to have quite a bit of core strength, right? A lot of core and back strength to stay safe while you're doing flips. But after I had each child, my core was just, it felt like it was like mutilated. And for the first time ever, I had this idea, this sense, I got to experience it firsthand of what it would feel like to feel this like lack of coordination between my back and even my glutes and my core and not being able to move how I thought I should be able to move at that point. It was quite a humbling feeling. And during both periods of postpartum for me, I had lower back pain because I wasn't able to use my core and I wasn't able to coordinate as well. And of course, you can train to get that strength and that coordination back, but it does take a little bit of time and a little bit of purpose, right? So to your point, what do you have to work? Well, you need to strengthen the core. You can do that by doing traditional weightlifting moves. So traditional strength training moves will require some bracing from your core. You can also train using, you know, different tools like resistance bands or mixing things up with, if you've got dumbbells at home, or body weight. I love to get people started with just body weight work to learn good form, good breathing while they're exercising and learning to kind of control that bracing through the core. You could also do traditional crunches, planks, movements that are directly strengthening the core. And then to your point, you want to balance that with back strength. And you also, like, I'm thinking about women, you also want to balance that with pelvic floor strength training too, right? So figuring out how all of that works together is so important. And if you are somebody who wants to get started, there are a lot of reputable places that you can look online for beginning strength training programs that use body weight. Of course, I would love if you looked for a certified exercise physiologist to help guide you, because they could really kind of kickstart you in the right direction. And then you could take it from there once you learn the basics, right? But there are great places to go online that are totally free and easy to access to.
I love Pilates.
Ooh.
You know, so Pilates is superb for core and spinal elongation. If you're not familiar with Pilates, just look it up. I mean, it's everywhere. And there's a special kind of piece of equipment called the reformer, which really helps you elongate your spine. And then you could just do a boatload of Pilates movements on a mat, just a nice, you know, cushioned mat where you're really working the core, getting the back involved, and again, modifying wherever you need to modify and back and forth. Yoga is very, very good too. No question. Yoga is better for stretching.
Agreed.
But again, to do yoga well, you need to have a strong core, because if you're going to be doing the tree pose, you know, with one leg up and one leg down, you better hope you've got strong core, you're going to collapse. And so the good news, to your point, you said mix it up. And I think that that's incredibly important, you know, to bring it all together. And then, you know, quite frankly, as you get older, there's a likelihood you're going to be out of it for a while. So what happens is you have a fracture, or you've got some, you know, you have a gallbladder attack, something happens and you're kind of out for the count, even if it's just the flu and maybe you've got it for like 2 weeks or, you know, whatever the issue is. The older you are, the faster you lose everything in terms of your muscle mass, in terms of your endurance, in terms of your strength. Now, here's the good news. If you've really been keeping up with it, then it's going to be much easier to come back. But if you're someone who's never had a really good, strong template foundation, this could set you back even further. This is why being proactive and making certain that you stay right on top of it is so terribly important. Count on it. You're going to be out for the count. I mean, what if you're like 60 and you're going to have your cataracts done? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I got news for you, honey. You're out for the count for 5 weeks because you can't lift weights during that time. They do one eye, then they come back 2 weeks later, they do the other eye. And so I'm sorry, but you're not lifting weights and, you know, all the rest of it. And you've got to know you're going to be dropping back a tad.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting from a higher level of fitness, then it's not going to be as dramatic. And you can, to your point, regroup and get right back to it. But it's just a matter of setting expectations. When you're 20, less so, right? But when you're 60, yeah, you're going to need some help here one way or the other. Speaking of help, nutrition is extremely important, you know, with all of this. Talk to me about nutrition and recovery.
Yeah. So when I think about nutrition and recovery, I think about protein, which of course is like having its moment. It's always been important in exercise science. It's always been important in medicine, right? But right now, the general public is hearing a lot about protein. It feels like they're putting protein in everything. Like, have you had the new protein water? There's like protein water, protein chips, protein bars. But protein is so important because it helps our muscles adapt to the stimulus of exercise. And so we need protein all the time, hopefully evenly spaced throughout the day, in order for the muscles to adapt and the tissue to adapt to the stimulus that we're giving it. So protein is important, but you don't have to get it from protein water. You can eat it from whatever sources you enjoy right now that make it convenient for you to have protein, hopefully with every meal and spaced throughout the day. I believe that's where the literature is settling, Dr. Peak. Is that your opinion of it too, where yes, protein is so important. I think there used to be this narrative of right after you work out, you have to get this 20 gram intake of protein like as soon as possible. And there's some truth to that. But I think what it did, unfortunately, was discourage people because it seemed just hard to attain. And what we do know from the literature on resistance training and protein intake is that if you are resistance training, honestly, if you're doing any exercise at all and you're eating protein at most meals, you're probably good to go. So think about
protein. You should be fine. I mean, yeah. You're absolutely right. I remember when I first heard that whole thing about, you know, within 30 minutes, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, stop. And it turns out it's not, you know, in talking to some of the top experts in protein, and my best guy is Stu Phillips up at McMaster, who is like one of the world's experts. He's 90 minutes. You're fine. You know, relax and don't turn this into a crazy time. It just gives you a chance to be able to think about and strategize, you know, how you're getting that protein in your body. And Stu and other people now believe, you know, it's more like knocking on 2 grams per kilogram body weight. And that's hard for a lot of people, especially women, to think about how do I do that? Because it's a lot of protein. So what I usually say is, you know, take a chill. All right. At the very least, get 60 grams in. 80 grams, I'm celebrating, and 100, I fall off my chair with glee. So, you know, just relax, you know. Nothing's strict here. Nothing's crazy here.
Right.
I talk to elite athletes who are seniors all the time. These are in the Senior Olympics. And they're like, you know, they get a little chicken here, a little fish there. They're not getting themselves crazy and all wrapped up in nutty stuff. And yet they still are world record holders in track and field and swim and heaven knows what else. So take a chill. Yeah, I don't think we have to be so tight and strict and crazy one way or the other. I take my multiple vitamin. I do the liposomal multivitamin by Solaray, which really works for me in a major way. And then I make sure to get in my Bone Complete, which is one of their best products. I just love it. It gives me everything I need to maintain my bones because, you know, we're losing bone mineral density and we want to mitigate that as much as possible. So Solaray to the rescue, they really do an outstanding job and they have really high quality products that are thoroughly vetted. So I really recommend that people, you know, sit down with a nutritionist, you know, an RD, a registered dietitian, and really figure out what your needs are. Everyone needs to make sure to get their blood level of vitamin D. Because without vitamin D, you're not absorbing calcium. And if you're not doing that, good luck with your bones. So it's important to make certain to be very thorough when it comes to your nutrition in a big way. So that being said, we've got nutrition. We've got paying attention during your workout. Any time of day, even when you're not working out, just kind of figuring out what works best for you. I tend to lean into things that feel good, like a nice warm shower, like, you know, feels so good. So what's the cold stuff then? The cold plunges and the cold this and that. I mean, I see obviously with elite athletes, I see them soaking away with ice floating by and all the rest of it. I get that. What about just average people out there?
Yeah. So cold therapy, much like protein, is sort of everywhere in the media right now. And when I think about cold therapy, I think about it in two categories. We have this localized cold therapy. So think there are some products, even Therabody makes them, where you could have cold therapy, almost like a portable ice pack, but it maintains its temperature for a long time. It's not messy. So you could have localized cold therapy, or you could have this like whole body immersion of cold therapy, which is what we're seeing with ice baths, cold showers, what have you.
Plunges.
Oh, yeah. It's not my favorite. The whole body immersion is not my favorite for the everyday person for one important reason. I'll talk to you a minute about the benefits of it. But one watch out is that there is literature emerging in exercise science specifically looking at this relationship between strength training and the adaptations we need from strength training. So like think improvements in muscle size, muscle function. That's what we're after with strength training, improvements in bone health too, from the muscle pulling on the bone literally while we're training, right? And cold therapy. And what we see in the literature is that if people do strength training and then right after that jump into cold plunge, the cold plunge actually disrupts the inflammatory cycle that our body normally does in order to adapt to resistance training, meaning it could blunt the positive adaptation of strength training. And so I think that's important to think about. We're seeing a lot on social media reels of people finishing workout, jumping right in a cold plunge. And I think there are times where that makes sense. For example, if you are running or if you're doing an Ironman, okay, and so you're doing these three modalities and it's all day. It is a grueling task and you are so sore and in so much pain that jumping in a cold tub or an ice bath could mitigate the pain and allow you to like, boom, my mood is boosted. Like I've got the adrenaline. I don't feel the pain anymore because the cold disrupts it. I'm like ready to perform. Like makes total sense for me in that setting. Or an athlete who needs to be ready to perform the next day after like a really tough workout or recovering from a nagging injury. It's like in those settings, it makes a lot of sense. But I just like to remind people again, like that watch out of potentially it disrupting the really good adaptations that are like happening at the cellular level from resistance training. A cool thing about localized cold therapy though, is that it can, what it does with the body is disrupt the pain signal. I mean, I think about it with my kids. If they get hurt, they're like, Mom, I need the ice pack. Like right away, they're asking for it because it's like a distractor for all the sensors, right? And it's going to temporarily relieve the pain and also cool off the tissue temperature. So it's going to reduce inflammation, reduce swelling. And if you can do that in a localized area, so say you're like super sore somewhere, maybe it's your calves, maybe it's your quads from a tough workout, that makes sense. Makes complete sense. And it could be used to really help you get over that soreness hump. But I think the whole body immersion, we should just use with a little bit more caution, maybe than what we see online. I will say though, the few times that I've done it, I've felt so ready to go. Like I'm ready to give a presentation. I am like amped up because what it does is it makes these neurotransmitters that are associated with energy and mood boosting and focus and alertness kind of upregulate. And so from that lens, if that's something you're after, it could be really helpful.
Okay, just clarify this. Yeah. People get confused.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a heck of a workout and maybe we got some owies or, you know, whatever. Heat or cold first?
Dr. Peak, I feel like the literature depends. We see differences based on the different study designs in the literature. What I will say with contrast therapy in the literature so far is that most of the time people are doing hot first and ending with cold, especially if the contrast is a hot bath to a cold bath or a sauna to a cold bath. We see heat first and then cold, or we see a cycling where it's a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, repeating the cycling. That's what we see most often in the literature. But the cool thing is, and like how I think about it with any of these recovery modalities is you want to pick something that feels good to you. And this goes back to that like psychological, at the very beginning, we talked about physical recovery, psychological recovery, what feels good and what you're more likely to repeat consistently over time is what I would recommend.
So again, it's like listening to your body.
Yeah.
And kind of knowing where that goes. I like the hot to cold. That's always sort of made sense to me.
Yes.
In a big way. You know, I want to get the circulation going and I want to be able to drive all the wonderful chemicals that I need and circulation to the area. And then the cool is just to allow it to be able to decrease the sense of pain.
Yep.
And increase kind of a perception of feeling good. Just like you said, it feels really good. And I have found it really has helped me with my own musculoskeletal recovery. It really works well. All right. Now, as we're wrapping this up, think about maybe is there anything else we really haven't covered in a big way that you really want to be able to share with people? of all ages who are really, they have their heart in their hand. They're saying, I really want to do my physical activity and exercise, you know, on a routine basis, but I also would like to know how to be able to nurture and nourish my musculoskeletal system so that it constantly is able to regenerate optimally and then give me the performance I need at whatever level.
Ooh, I mean, that's the big question, right? I'll take it from a behavior change angle because that's something that I've loved throughout my schooling and then throughout my career so far. I know there's so much health information everywhere and people often know at least a little bit what to do, but the ability to get started is like the hardest part. It's the biggest obstacle. And so what I would say is this, if you're wanting to get started with a physical activity routine and you are in pain or you are dreading the soreness that you might feel after you start being active, consider learning a little bit more about simple recovery strategies, whether it's something like a Theragun or whether it's a quick mobility routine that you need no equipment for, just yourself, your own body, and figure out how you could build that in so that you're having these little wins over time. Is what we know about human behavior is that if you only have this like big goal at the end, like maybe it's getting off of whatever medication or it's losing however much weight, we know that if the goal is too big, it's very difficult for people to ever get there. But if instead you can notice these like tiny wins that you're getting along the way, maybe it's going for a walk and doing 2 minutes of mobility work every week for a month. If it's something like that and you're chalking up a win, then mentally you're ready to add a little bit more the next month. And we know that with physical activity, it's all about the long game. And the way I think about recovery is that it can facilitate physical activity sticking around longer, which is really what we're all after.
I love it. This is such a great way to end this. And it's also very positive and hopeful. And so it's modify, 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 know your body, individualize, customize, but always honor recovery, honor it, because it's integral to decreasing injury and to enhancing performance, whether you're an elite athlete or someone who just wants to walk down the street without falling down. Make sense? Everyone, we have been talking to Dr. Rachel Reed. She is an exercise physiologist and currently a scientist in research and development with the Therabody company, which obviously we all know has the Theraguns and all of the wonderful recovery tools. And this has been great sharing all of this information with us. Rachel, once again, you're amazing. You're just a chock full of great information that all of us can now take home and just say, how do I apply this in my own life? Rachel, thank you so much for being on the Herb podcast again.
Thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure.
All right. And I want to also thank my sponsor, Solaray, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Scope them all out at Solaray, Solaray.com. And now take a moment to leave us a review because we love to hear from you. So for everyone out there, this has been a production of Podcast Health. And a little reminder that, you know, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Thanks for listening, everyone.